I do appreciate Brother Grant's friendship. Some years back, about 5 years ago, Brother Grant and I will talk on the phone usually a couple times a year. Brother Grant called me up. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm in ICU at St. Joe Hospital." And you know, he came and visited me, stayed. And of all my preacher friends, I mean, I probably got 20, 30. And only about four of them showed up. And Brother Grant spent almost the whole day with me. And then I talked to him just a little bit, and I got sick again. And I hadn't talked to him since then. And he called me. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm laying in ICU again." He came and saw me. And I told him, I said, "Brother Grant, from now on, I'll call you." But I do appreciate his friendship. I'm from Lexington. Grew up in Lexington. Pastored 7 years in Lexington. 7 years in the mountains of eastern Kentucky in Lee County. And a year ago, a church in coastal Georgia, a real small church, about 20 people, was calling me to be their pastor. And it just didn't make any sense. But this was the thought. In Lee County, Beattyville, we've got three churches of like faith and order, landmark Baptist churches like this. We know of five in the whole state of Georgia. And so some of the other older pastors with larger churches said, "Brother Rob, if you come down here, pastor this little work, maybe the Lord will help lead you to help start some other churches." And lead in that direction. And because the closest church to us is about 2 hours of like faith and order. There's a lot in Florida, but just not a lot in the state of Georgia. So pray for us. And pray for me also as I came back. The former pastor, longtime pastor, Richard Adams, in Lee County, Beattyville, pastored two different works there, did a great work. Just a great work in that county. He passed away, and I'll be taking part in his funeral tomorrow. And so Lord had us up here for a reason. But the city of Brunswick's completely flooded. The National Guard won't let anybody in, but my neighbor says that our house is fine. Not a tree down, nothing destroyed. And so we thank God for his goodness. Let's turn and go to the book of Matthew tonight. In chapter 14, Brother Grant asked me to preach yesterday, and I've studied out about 20 sermons. And finally this afternoon, the Lord gave me peace about one. In the book of Matthew, chapter 14, we'll begin our reading in verse 22. Matthew 14:22. "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, 'O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?' And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, 'Of a truth, thou art the Son of God.'" Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Father, we thank you for the opportunity once again to preach your word. Father, we thank you for this pastor and this church. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would do that work that only you can do. Now, Father, I can speak to ears and minds, but Father, we need your Spirit to open our hearts to your truth. Father, teach us this day as you taught your disciples. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when I think of this passage, I think of the fact that a lot of us in our lives have established what we would call comfort zones. But, you know, every once in a while, it takes God to rock our boat to get us out of our comfort zone. You know, Amos declares, "Woe unto them who are at ease in Zion." And God challenges us to have a great faith in a great God. In verse 22, we find that the Lord constrained them to go out into a ship. To constrain, he basically means to force. I mean, he told them that they were going, or to command, to go out into this ship. He wanted to get them away from the praise of the multitude. You know, if you read back, he had committed a lot of miracles, and the crowd and the multitude was upon him. And I'm sure that it pitched a Messiah fever, and he wanted to get them away from the praise of the group, and he desired them to go out into the ship so he could give them an object lesson that they would never forget. You know, comfort zones become so cozy and relaxing, sometimes we just do not desire change. And now, we don't need change just for change's sake, but we do need change sometimes for the glory of God. Sometimes we become, we trust so much in our comfort zones that it takes the Lord to rock our boat and send us into a storm before we would ever want to leave them. Many times our greatest blessings are just outside of our cozy, familiar surroundings. The point is if we want a blessing we've never had before, we must be willing to do something we've never done before.
Right.
Now in verse 23 it says that the Lord went apart to pray. Vance Havner used to so famously say, if you never come apart to pray, you'll come apart.
Right.
And our Lord came apart to pray. And Jesus, see the picture here, Jesus is going up as he's descending his disciples out. That'll fit a pattern throughout his ministry. Like the black preacher once said, he sits high, but he looks low. And he's sitting high, and he has the optic place where he can see his disciples. Look with me here in verse 24, as we see this, verse 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. This is the Sea of Galilee, and without going into a lot of it, it's basically a sea that's down in a basin. So storms could come into it very quickly and pick up spiraling winds. When it says the winds were contrary, actually that's what it means. It means circling winds. It's kind of like if you've ever been in a big football stadium, you know, a big massive football stadium. You go outside the stadium, you feel a little breeze. You step inside the stadium, and boy, it's just that spiraling wind where the wind gets in there and catch. So storms could come up very quickly in this sea, and they could go away very quickly. And it says that in verse 25, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them in the water. Now, the fourth watch is sometime, you know, around right before daybreak. The Romans broke time up into watches. And so the last watch is sometime between 4 a.m. and sunrise. And so Jesus comes to them on the water. Now, what I want you to see here is first of all, I want you to see his sovereignty in your situation. One thing I know, everybody in here is either in a storm, getting ready to go into a storm, or you're coming out of a storm.
Yeah, that's right.
All of us have problems and issues.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. Many times when we get in the storms of life, Lord, why me? What have I done? They have not done anything wrong.
That's right.
You see, sometimes the Lord does send storms of correction in our life to correct us. But here he's sending these disciples into a storm of perfection.
Yeah.
He wants to mature or to perfect their faith. And they were there by God's sovereign direction. He told them to go into the ship. He knew what was going on. He knew what was going to happen.
That's right.
If I didn't believe in the sovereign direction of God, I'd quit preaching. I'd quit praying and I'd quit witnessing. Because God has a reason. I've said many times I've got three sureties in my life. Number one, I know the Lord saved me.
Amen.
Number two, I know the Lord called me to preach. And number three, I know that I'm here tonight preaching to you at God's sovereign direction. I know that it's His providential leading is why I'm here as I follow life.
Amen.
And you know, something that happened about it, I guess a couple years ago, we all have our cell phones. I used to use the GPS, but something came out called Google Maps. Now, if you use the regular GPS, I'll just tell you now, Google Maps is much better. Because Google Maps actually will tell you when there's a delay ahead. Now, living in Georgia, I go through Atlanta all the time coming back and forth to Kentucky, and there's been a lot of times that it'll say, take this exit. And I'll take that exit and I'll go around and serpentine maybe 20 minutes, and then it'll pop me back out onto the interstate and I'll look back and see a line of cars. Now, it diverted me by 20 minutes to save me from a two-hour delay.
Amen.
And now the first couple times it did that, I'd fuss. The first time it did it, I didn't realize what was going on. I said, this ignorant thing,
yeah.
I'm supposed to be on 75 for another 5 hours. Till I sat in traffic for 2 hours. And my buddy said, no, this is what it does. From there on, every time it causes me to delay, every time it causes something to reroute me, I don't complain because I know it's saving me.
Yeah.
You know, it's a crying shame that some of us have more faith in Google Maps than we do the sovereign God.
Amen.
He sees the road ahead.
Yeah.
And what many times we in our lives see as a detour, the Lord is saving us from something or for something.
Amen.
If we are His children, we are following His divine leadership. He is there to guide us and to protect us, even in the midst of the storm.
Amen.
Jesus here, as we see, He comes to them in verse 25, walking on the water. They're in the fourth watch, and Jesus in the fourth watch, He comes to them walking on the sea. I'll tell you something about this sermon. I preached this sermon a couple years ago when I was in Beattyville, the Grace Baptist Church. On Friday night, before we preached this, he was preaching through Matthew. A dear sister in our church, a pianist named Jenny, she had her fourth child. And we were there at Central Baptist. Baby looked fine, everything. I left just to get a call early in the morning that they were rushing the baby to UK. Intestinal problems, massive hole in its heart. I run to UK. I'm there with the parents. I'm with them. Boy, they just showed a great faith. Well, she gave birth on Friday night. I'm with them most of the day on Saturday in ICU. I go to preach Sunday morning. And I look up, and here comes Jenny Luce walking in the building. She's our pianist. I said, Jenny, what are you doing here? She said, there's nothing I can do in ICU for my baby. She said, it's better for me to be here. I can serve Addison better here praying for her than I can sitting in ICU worrying. I preached this sermon. After I preached that sermon, she came out, and she's the daughter of a preacher up in Illinois, and she put her arm around me with a tear in her eye, and she said, preacher, there's something I want you to know. And I said, yeah. She said, you know those waves and water that was rocking the boat of the disciples? I said, yeah. She says, Jesus has them under His feet. Well, what's rocking my boat today? My Lord already has it under His feet.
Amen.
I'm not worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
We go through storms. And we go through difficulties in our life, but man, isn't it good that we know the master of the sea?
Amen. Yeah.
Isn't it good that we know? I don't know how people that don't know the Lord get through this life. I really don't. But what's rocking our boat and what may be your problem, our Lord already has it under His sovereign control. He has it under his feet. In verse 26, we see that they were scared to death. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. I mean, this word trouble means they were scared, saying it's a spirit. They thought it was a ghost. They didn't know what it was. They were freaked out. You'd be freaked out too. And I want you to know something. In so many years, I'm not that old, but I want you to know in life, sometimes life will scare you to death. Sometimes you don't know what to do. You're just troubled. And here comes the Lord walking to them. Secondly, you must trust His voice when you cannot trust your vision. He's coming to them. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Trust what He says over what you see. You know, there's elements that's hindering their vision. It's night. There's rain. There's waves. There's water in their face. They cannot see what's going on. But they heard His voice over the storm. Now, what He says here to them makes absolutely zero sense except it come from Him.
Yeah, right.
You know, the boat's being spun. The waves are coming in. And He goes, "Be of good cheer. It's I." Now, If you're going through a problem, and I call up and say, "Oh, don't worry about it, be of good cheer, it's I calling you, it's I come to you," that makes absolutely no sense.
Amen.
One preacher said the salutation was not congruent with the situation.
That's good.
All right? But the thing is it does make sense because it's Christ saying it. It's I. Now, it doesn't make any sense if it's Brother Rob or Brother Grant. But when it's it's our Lord saying it's I, it does make sense.
Right.
As long as He is with me, I can handle what's going on around me.
Mm-hmm.
As long as He's there with me. Like here in verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water." Thirdly, you must confirm clearance before crossing. You better not step out without permission. Better not step out on presumption. Some of us have the mentality and the personality that we're like Thomas or different ones. We want to stay in the boat. And some of us just want to jump out of the boat. I'll be honest, I've made more mistakes not stepping out then I've made more mistakes by stepping out without out of presumption. Don't presume.
Mm-hmm.
Ask.
Yeah.
Ask. And He has a one-word command. Just one word. Come. He stepped out on one word. It's better to trust His word than your emotions.
Yeah.
When many times we get so emotional and so tore up about different things that we have to go to the Word. Sometimes picking up the phone doesn't work. We've got to drop a knee before we pick up the phone. We need to seek Him and hear from Him.
Amen.
You know, I said I preached in the mountains for 7 years. And one thing about a difficulty in the mountains is a lot of people are looking for some grand emotional experience to confirm their salvation.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't get all tore up. They think unless they get all tore up and cry and boo-hoo and everything is confirmed by emotions.
Yeah.
Look, God works with our emotions, but I want to tell you something. We can't follow our emotions.
That's right.
Amen. We can't follow our emotions. We got to follow His Word.
That's right.
We've got to follow His Word. And He gives them a one-word command. You better learn to trust God over your emotions and don't just assume and step out. True story, pastored in Lexington, that fellow, a farmer named Coy Green. His grandson was a basketball player for Georgetown College. He told me this story. They went down to Alice Lloyd, I believe it was, down in the mountains to watch his grandson play basketball. And they were driving back through the mountains at night. And the son-in-law said over to Coy, said, "We ain't seen the place in 50 minutes. I've got to stop and go to the bathroom right now." He said, "Where are you going to go?" He said, "Pull over, I'll jump over the guardrail and
go in these bushes. He said, all right. Time goes by. About 40 minutes go by. And, man, well, what in the world's going on? And the fella comes up and his face is bloody. His shirt is ripped off. He's just bloody from head to toe. He goes, what happened? You run into a wildcat or a bear? He goes, you see those bushes? He said, yeah. He goes, those are the tops of trees. And sometimes you better not just step out. You better confirm crossing. You know, some of us are too quick to step out. Yeah. But the fourth point is if you get a confirmation, you need to step out and trust his word. We see that. He steps out in verse 29. But he said, oh, I'm on the wrong chapter. Here we go, verse 29. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Peter walked on the water. Now, here's the great thing that's my thought. If not only, and this is in relation to what Sister Jenny said, I understand that Jesus has my problems under his feet. But if I've got my mind and my heart stayed on him and I'm following his word, I can have those problems under my feet as long as I'm pointed towards him.
Amen.
And directed towards him. That's one thing about the ministry that astonishes me. And I've been at it 20 years, pastoring 15 now. You've been at it a little longer, I think. But there's times and there's hospital rooms and there's situations that you go into. And I want you to know something. You walk in that hospital room, you know who knows the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know who knows the Lord. You know who walks with God. Not just shows up. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go into this because I'll get emotional. And I don't want to make him emotional, but I was telling him down there, his father-in-law, Larry Flynn, was a great pivotal part in my life. And just watching the way that he suffered with cancer for the glory of God. I was preaching in a nursing home. And he didn't preach, but he would come and help support and wheel the people into the area. Brother Flynn was in the parking lot throwing up. And I said, what are you doing here? And he said, in a lot better shape than they are in there if they die without Christ.
Amen.
He said, preacher, I can't stay in the service, but I'll have Brother Bishop was another fellow that was with it. I'll have Brother Bishop roll me into the rooms where they're real sick and we'll talk to them while you preach. I learned that day. You don't serve God out of emotion.
That's right.
You serve him out of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the big reasons why is I complained the whole way going there. I was tired. I had a headache. I didn't feel like preaching. And then here's this fellow dying of cancer who's basically telling me they're in a lot worse shape.
Yeah. I'll
tell you what. If Simon Peter can do it by keeping his eyes on Jesus and have victory over his circumstances, so can I. But of course, the key is keeping our eyes on the Lord. Verse 30. It's keeping our eyes on the Lord, and immediately. But when he saw the wind boisterous, and he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Now, a lot of preachers at this point, they really want to trash Simon Peter because he got his eyes off the Lord. At least he got out of the boat.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't see any of the other disciples getting out of the boat. At least Simon got out of the boat. I'd rather step out on faith and fail than never step out.
That's right.
And never accomplish anything. And by the way, if you ever try to do anything for the Lord, have the Lord do something through you, you will fail.
Yeah.
You know, a year ago I went down to Georgia thinking I was going to set the woods on fire. I was going to build that church up and God was going to bless and we were going to start other churches and the Lord is blessing. But boy, it ain't moving at the clock that I thought it was. You know, because again, it's not about my will, it's about his will. But when we do stuff, we're going to run into failure. But what does Peter do? He he becomes scared and he screams out, "Lord, save me." Now, he had a multiple choice at this moment. You know, he's sinking. You know, now, he could have asked the disciples for help.
Yeah.
He could have asked the disciples to help him. But considering they're in the boat, they're scarier than he is. What good's that going to do?
Yeah.
He could have tried to swim. Now, we know that Peter can swim.
Yeah.
Peter was a professional fisherman. And we have a story in Scripture where he jumped out of the boat and swam to shore where Jesus was at. So being a professional fisherman, I'm sure that he was a skilled swimmer. But I want you to know, no matter how much self-effort there we give, there's some obstacles in life that our self-effort just isn't going to do.
That's right.
And so what does Peter do? He just screams out, "Lord, save me." And sometimes that's all we need to do, is just cry out to him, "Lord, save me. My friends can't help me. I can't help me. Unless you do something for me, I don't know what is going to happen." He cried out.
Man, that's good.
And he shouted. You know, he's always just a prayer away. He's always just a prayer away. And he went down there, and what happened? And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Well, I tell you what, I like what those one disciple said to the Lord. I've said this so many years. I've said it in my prayer so many times. "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe, but help my unbelief." And here we find, and the result, we find here in verse 32 and 33, the whole purpose of this. The whole purpose of this. I don't believe the purpose was Peter walking on the water. That wasn't the purpose.
That's right.
The purpose of this whole thing, I said it was an object lesson, we find in verses 32 and 33. "And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying of a truth, thou art the Son of God." There are some things only experience can teach you.
That's right. That's good.
There are some things only experience can teach you. We know what this word worship means. But you know what the literal meaning here, what happened here when they said we worship, we talk about praise and worship and a worship service. You want to know what happened? Jesus steps in the boat and his disciples do this. That's literally what it means. They bowed before him.
Amen.
They recognized him as the sovereign, as the creator. What manner of man is this that even the winds obey his voice? He is the master, and God puts us through trials and storms and difficulties, and when we come out on the other side, we see that he kept us, and kept us in the storm and through the storm. It causes us to worship him. He proves to us that he's the Son of God. He proves to us in times of difficulties that he's our Savior. He shows us that he cares for us, that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Tragedy causes a lot of things. You know, an old Mount preacher one time told me something I've never forgotten. I just started preaching 20 years ago. He said, "Son, I want to tell you something." He said, "You're going to meet disappointments that you don't have a clue about." He said, "I don't know the future, but I want to tell you this. It ain't going to work out as you're dreaming it right now. Things are going to happen in your family. Things are going to happen in your life. Things are going to happen in church. Things are going to happen." And he said, and I've seen it for a lot of years. It's Hubert Baker. He was up in his 80s when he said it. Preacher Baker, they called him. Standing with overalls on, overalls and a corn cob pipe, laying it down. Old preacher. He said, "You'll either grow more humble and dependent on the Lord, or you'll grow bitter." You got one or two choices. You know, a lot of people say, why does good things happen to bad people? They don't understand. There is none good, no, not one.
That's right.
Why does God love and take care of any of us? Why does he put us through problems? I've been on the phone with several people down there. Preacher, I've lost everything. I mean, these people just the neighborhood away. I can't say why he didn't destroy my home. I don't know why he didn't destroy mine. When he destroyed others. I don't know. But I know this. God's in control of everything.
Amen.
He's in control of the storms. He's in control of the issues of our life.
So as we go through these things, let's not trust our emotions. Let's trust his word. Let's obey his word. When we come through it, we'll worship him. Because I can understand the word of God intellectually. You know, I know what it means that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. But until you've gone through some trials, then you really know it by experience.
Right.
You know, and most of the time the word know in the Bible is talking about an experience. Have you experienced him in those times? Well, we just thank God for it. Brother Grant.